Hello everyone, we're continuing with our series in Ruth. Can I suggest that you pause the recording now and read chapter 2? I'm going to read from Romans 8 and verse 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Let's pray together. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Last time we thought about the fear that consumed Naomi having lost her husband and both her sons. Did this mean that God had abandoned her? In chapter 2, as the story unfolds, we're introduced to Boaz, a relative of Naomi's husband Elimelech, and we sense that something is about to happen. We get a glimpse of God working to bring all things together for good, quietly, in the background. It's easy for us as onlookers to see this in action. I wonder how easy it was for Ruth and Naomi as they lived it. As chapter 2 begins, Ruth travels back to Bethlehem with Naomi, expressing a commitment not to just her mother-in-law, but to her people and her God also. She's not simply asking for asylum, but for community too. Ruth is willing to travel into unknown territory. I'm sure aware of the possible obstacles she might face at this time, when mixed marriages, particularly between the Israelites and Moabites, were spoken against by the prophets. Ruth, however, is willing to push the boundaries. Whereas Naomi takes the initiative and Ruth follows in chapter 1, in chapter 2, Ruth takes the initiative. And now it's Naomi who says little to her request to glean other than concurring. Ruth is not content to sit back and bemoan her lot in life. Like Jesus' parable of the persistent widow, she's not passive but bangs on the door, or rather goes out into the field for some hard work. Sometimes I think the answers to our prayers is not God miraculously changing the situation, but God giving us the courage and strength or self-control to speak out, to stand up and to get on with changing the way things are. Throughout the chapter, we're reminded of the otherness of Ruth. She's regularly referred to as a Moabite, as if we might forget that she is an outsider. Ruth has not been brought up to follow Yahweh. She isn't in the in-group. I wonder if this is why Naomi is at first reluctant to accept her kindness. I wonder if we miss out too, because we don't accept the kindness of someone because we don't know them that well, or we think our own family or church family should be the ones we turn to for support. Could it be that God is using someone we might not expect to bless us? Maybe someone not like us, maybe who dresses differently, comes from another part of town, someone who's not following Jesus, or might make us feel slightly uncomfortable because they live a different life to the one we know. Is it that we like to be the ones in control? Is it that we think Christians shouldn't need help from anyone other than God? This story puts paid to these ideas. It also doesn't fit with the way we see God behaving in the pages of Scripture. Jesus came in absolute vulnerability, as a baby. He ate with those on the wrong side of the authorities. He accepted hospitality from outsiders like Zacchaeus and the woman at the well. It was his acceptance and friendship of strangers that eventually got him killed by the authorities, who wanted nothing to do with outsiders in fear of being tainted in some way. Jesus submitted. He laid aside all control except for that of God, and said in Matthew 15:18, what comes from the heart, not what goes in, makes the person unclean. You'll probably know that the gleaning laws we find in Leviticus and Deuteronomy are a way of allowing dignity as well as providing for those who are poor. Widows and orphans were permitted to collect grain from the edges of fields which were deliberately left alone by the harvesters. Ruth has just gone to a field that just happens to belong to a man named Boaz. I wonder how many times in our lives we have just happened to go somewhere or meet someone that has led to a positive outcome on our situation, an outcome that with hindsight we can see the fingerprints of God in. I hope that you have these moments. In fact, I believe that we all do. What I hope is that you recognise when they are happening, or at least can look back and see that they have happened and thank God for them. Whatever you are facing, whatever challenges lie ahead, know that whether you see it or not, God is with you and God is for you. In the first chapter, Naomi does not use God's personal name, Yahweh. She has lost connection with him. She speaks of him, not to him. But once she hears how Ruth has been blessed by Boaz, Naomi exclaims, "The Lord bless him." I wonder, do we give God the praise he is due? Do we, like Naomi, need to wait until we recognise the work of his hands? Or do we have the trust that he enables us to praise him even in the midst of a bad situation? Believing and trusting he is working for our good when he seems silent is not easy. Back to Ruth. There is still a long way to go until a happy ending. In verse 5, Boaz asks who Ruth belongs to, another hint to her status. Perhaps Ruth stood out because she was resting away from the others. Maybe she dressed differently, or maybe Boaz got close enough and paid enough attention to his workers to know she was not a usual face on his land. I guess many business owners want maximum profit and efficiency, but Boaz, as well as adhering to moral and social obligations of gleaning, was also a caring man, as the text continues to show. I guess we understand bailing out a child or perhaps helping parents or a sibling, but where's our cut-off point? The family tree was broad in those days. Ruth stood out as a hard worker, commended by the overseer for her hard work. But it wasn't simple hard work that she was praised for. Her devotion to Naomi was the motivation behind her actions and had got her a reputation that preceded her. Boaz offers her added protection whilst gleaning. The same Hebrew word that is used in chapter 1 when Ruth clings to Naomi, meaning keep close to. Ruth recognises that Boaz is extending more kindness than is required, as she remarks in verse 10, "Why have I found such favour in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" This may well have been rhetorical, but Boaz continues to bless her. She has sought protection under God's wings, and now Boaz prays that this would be over her whole life. In verse 12 we read, "May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." I wonder, have you ever prayed a prayer of blessing over someone? Is it easier to pray over our loved ones or those we have just met? And so the blessings carry on. Perhaps Boaz is answering his own prayer. Having prayed that God bless Ruth, he now steps in to make his prayer a reality. Ruth is permitted to work alongside the harvesters, who are to make it easy for her, and Boaz himself invites her to eat with him. I love the image of being under the protection of God's wings. Psalm 91 verse 4 reads, "He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart." The character of Boaz reflects God's redeeming, restoring and protection of Israel in the past and of us today. Jesus uses the same image in Luke 13:35. "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often have I longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing." Do we allow ourselves to be covered with God's protection? Do we, like Boaz, provide it for others? Ruth is becoming part of the community. Later in verse 20, Naomi refers to Boaz as our kinsman redeemer. She now includes Ruth as part of her family. This is a story of people going over and above expectations, a challenge to us all. Times are still uncertain though. We may know the ending, but Ruth and Naomi don't. Ruth may have collected in a day enough food for a week, but the gleaning stops when the harvesting ends. Ruth and Naomi's economic survival is still precarious. We can see hints of God at work, but how the story ends is still unclear. But there is hope in the air. A friend of mine said, "Being a Christian is often nothing more than hearing God say, 'I will not abandon you,' over and over again until you realise it's true." During the funeral on Thursday, I spoke on Psalm 23. The psalmist has assurance that God is with him in the dark valley, offering support. And I pray that in these still uncertain times, that assurance might be yours today. We might not know what the future holds, but we know the one who holds the future. I pray that you know God is at work. He has been at work and will continue to be your Redeemer. Amen. As we've been thinking about Ruth and Boaz giving over and above of themselves to others, it is fitting on Remembrance Sunday that we remember those who also gave over and above during the wars. Maybe you could pause now and thank God for their sacrifice.